on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Snarly, gotta cut you down.
Go tell Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Coming to you statewide on Civic Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. There was a lot of it made yesterday. We're going to start with a bunch of primaries around the country. Bunch of primaries. It was primary Tuesday in a lot of areas in the country. Arizona, Missouri, Michigan, state of Washington. We get into all of that. Next Tuesday, August 9, is primary day in Wisconsin. Well, let's get to the biggest story of yesterday, and that is the abortion referendum in Kansas. Now, Kansas is a red state presently. Everybody thinks, oh, it always has been. Well, no, it hasn't always has been. Back in the 1890s, Kansas was what would be called a radical progressive state. Remember the Kansas-Nebraska Act leading up to the Civil War? Kansas would not tolerate slavery. Then in the modern era, they have started to become very right-wing, and everybody assumed that they would all vote in a referendum to outlaw abortion in Kansas. That did not happen. That did not happen. By a vote of 68 to 32, that's percent now, and that's with about 80% of the vote in, so it could wiggle around a few points. But around 68-32, in a massive shift, Kansas rejected a proposition, a referendum, that would have said that there is no right to an abortion under the Kansas Constitution. What's that all about? The Kansas Supreme Court a few years ago issued a decision in which they said that the Kansas Constitution contains a right to an abortion. And at the time, people sort of shrugged because Roe v. Wade was still in effect. When Roe v. Wade was overturned, the Republicans decided that they were going to put a referendum on the ballot to change the Kansas Constitution and to say that it does not contain a right to an abortion. And that referendum is what lost 68 to 32%. In Republican counties, in Republican areas all around the state, didn't matter, people rejected that resolution. Now, there are a couple of things to keep in mind. One of them was, this was a partisan primary. In Kansas, you have to register in a party to vote in a primary. So in Wisconsin, for instance, we are an open primary state. You can only vote in one primary, but you can pick whatever ballot you want, Republican or Democrat, and nobody keeps track of it. Nobody cares. Nobody asks you. So you can go back and forth, not in the same election, but from year to year. That's not true in Kansas. It's not true in a lot of states in the country. You have to register with a party just like you have to register to vote. There are 500,000 voters in Kansas who are unregistered. That means they can't vote in primaries. They can't vote in primaries. 500,000. But they were permitted to vote in this referendum to make it legal under the Kansas Constitution. I suspect these are independents, that they are overwhelmingly moderate, in many cases Democrats. Why do I say that? Because Kansas has a Democratic governor, Kelly. And they like her. And how does she get elected? Because in the general election, there's no registration by party. You just go in. You just flat out go in, and that's the way it's done. And that's what happened here. So it's a little, I think, misleading to say, well, there were tons of Republicans who voted for it, but there were many. There's no question about that. There were many, especially in the suburbs, in the larger counties. The other little wrinkle about it, this is a little wrinkle in Kansas, is that in Kansas, there were people putting out false word about what the referendum meant. Go online and read the referendum. Even I, reading it at first, you would think that the yes vote, and by the way, the yes vote was the vote to change the Kansas Constitution and make abortion illegal. A no vote was to not change it and keep abortion legal. But a number of Republican groups just put out fake word on social media saying vote yes to protect children and women and give you the choice on an abortion. And that was false. A yes vote was exactly the contrary. The other thing is the wording of it was so mushy and really so misleading that when you first read about it, the resolution, remember, yes is to outlaw abortion, would be, we must protect women and children, and, you know, it sounds very good. Nevertheless, that got around. People didn't like that sort of sneakiness. And I'll throw an idea out. I'm not seeing it anywhere else. Maybe it's, I'm correct, maybe I'm not. But when you put word out on social media that the yes vote is to protect the right to abortion, I wonder how many people who were opposed to abortion voted no, thinking that that's the way to get their view across. So when you do something sneaky like that, I think it can kick back both ways. I think it can kick back both ways. Now, where do we go from there? Well, that sends a signal around the country, in my opinion, that sends a signal around the country that people, if Kansas is going to vote to keep the right to an abortion, remember all that the Dobbs case did when the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. And by the way, that it was a 5-4 decision. Amy Coney Barrett was the deciding vote. And she, in my opinion, was illegitimately appointed. She was appointed during the lame duck by a president who lost. And she was voted in by senators who were not going to be in the Senate several months later. And what they ended up doing, and that they may do in October with this North Carolina case we've been talking about, is change the Constitution, and in the North Carolina case, maybe even change the ability to interpret the Constitution and leave it to gerrymandered state legislators on a 5-4 vote with people who, at least one, who in my view is illegitimately confirmed. I don't think people are going to tolerate that, but the sly thing about the decision, it didn't say you have a right to abortion or not. It just said it's up to the states. But when Kansas, in a popular referendum vote, says that you do, that's going to send a signal. And frankly, I think it's going to send a signal in the midterm elections. Now, let's get to some of the other elections. There were a lot of contentious elections in primaries around the country. We're going to get to as many as we can in this segment and the rest in another segment. Donald Trump stuck his nose in a lot of primary elections. He stuck his nose in a lot of primary elections. In Arizona, he swept the table. Unfortunately, Kari Lake, this is his endorsed candidate for governor. She's the one. She's a former news anchor from Phoenix, very attractive woman. And much like, the Duchess of Foxconn and Kim Reynolds and some of these other governors around the country, she said, quote, President Biden is illegitimate because he lost the election. He shouldn't be in the White House, end quote. This is what she said. She was 9,000 votes ahead to be the Republican nominee with about 80% of the vote counted this morning. Mark Fincham, the Republican Secretary of State candidate, also endorsed by Trump, with ties to Oath Keepers. And this is a guy who won't certify any Democrat. He won. He's going to be their Secretary of State nominee, Republican. This guy named Blake Masters is really bad news. His only support really is Peter Thiel, the libertarian, he calls himself, billionaire. And this guy said that one-third of the people, of the rioters outside the Capitol on January 6th, were actually FBI agents. That's what he said. And he won. He's the Republican nominee for the Senate against Mark Kelly. He also said that gun violence was the fault, quote, of black people, end quote. This guy is truly bad news. Truly bad news. It's essential that Mark Kelly beat him. Pay attention. Support Mark Kelly. Send him a contribution. Do you remember that sad sack, Rusty Bowers? He testified at the January 6th commission hearing. Trump endorsed somebody against him. Rusty Bowers lost. He's an incumbent state senator, but he's not going to be the nominee to succeed himself. I will say Rusty Bowers is a sad sack. He's bad news. He waffled back and forth, and he said, well, I'd still vote for Trump. Now I won't. He was the epitome of weakness. I can see where a lot of people would not want Rusty Bowers representing them. I would not. However, I have no idea who the guy was whom Trump endorsed against him. But since he endorsed Mark Fincham, Carrie Lake, and Blake Masters, I would say that the guy's bad news or the woman's bad news, whoever it is. But Trump swept the table in Arizona. Keep that in mind. There's no disputing that. Blake Masters will be the Republican nominee for Senate. Mark Fincham will be the Republican nominee for Secretary of State. And Carrie Lake, and when I went on the air just now, was up by 9,000 votes with about 80,000 or 80% of the votes cast. There's another election that was a shame, a pity. Peter Myers, Congress, voted to impeach Trump in Michigan, lost a guy named Gibbs, whom Trump had endorsed. This was a travesty. This was a travesty. This guy, Myers, is a very good guy. And you know something? The Democratic Party is partly to blame. The Democratic Party put money in to get Gibbs to beat Meyer on the theory that Gibbs is a strange hack and we can beat him. We may not beat him, and he may end up in the Congress, and we're going to put in an election denier. That Democratic strategy was wrong. It's sick. It's immoral. Going to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. Back after the break.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta...
Matt Flynn, director. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. Well, there were a couple of other races on the ballot. A couple of other races on the ballot in other states. Talked about Arizona. We talked about Michigan. And the Michigan one is really bad news. Peter Meyer is a Republican, but he's very much like Liz Cheney. He was one of 10 Republicans who stood tall and voted to impeach Trump as a result of the January 6th insurrection. The Democratic Party put in money to elect John Gibbs in the primary, simply cynically thinking that he'd be easier to beat in the general election. And remember something. This is a Republican seat, guys. And yes, redistricting made it a little more Democratic this time. But John Gibbs may very well end up in the Congress. Peter Meyer is a man of great integrity. And it'd be as if we did that to Adam Kinzinger or Liz Cheney. We did it in Maryland because we thought that Tom Perez, our candidate, our choice of candidate, would easily win that primary. He did not. Tom Perez is a former Secretary of Labor under Obama and the head of the National Democratic Party. He lost. He lost to a guy who came out of left field. A guy grew up in the Bronx, had a hard time as a kid, turned his life around and formed a nonprofit and roamed around the state. And now he's our guy, no experience at all. And he's going up against a right-wing Trump nut named Cox because we put in millions of dollars, the Democratic Party put in, to knock off the moderate Larry Hogan-endorsed Republican. We did something like that in Pennsylvania, Mastriano. Democrats tried to get him to win the Republican primary, and he did. Yes, he's a right-wing nut. But Pennsylvania, the governor gets to appoint the Secretary of State. You can't vote for the Secretary of State in Pennsylvania. And as a result, if the Republicans win the governorship, you're going to have the Secretary of State and the governor not certifying any Democrat, and it's going to go up to the Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court is 6-3 Republican. Whoever arrived at these decisions, the Democratic Party should be fired. Should be fired. The Democratic National Committee is simply a politburo that goes along with stupid ideas and identity politics ideas. And they say, oh, well, Claire McCaskill, it worked for her in 2012, and Joe Donnelly in Indiana, Claire McCaskill in Missouri. So therefore, we should take a chance on jeopardizing the presidential election. You idiots. You contemptible idiots. Well, out in the state of Washington, Jamie Herrera Butler voted to impeach Trump. And again, you know, that's two time zones away. So what we're seeing now, the votes are still being counted, but she was ahead of all the other Republicans, and the top two go into an election after that. So we won't know till later this morning, but Jamie Herrera Butler may have held on. She's the one that Kevin McCarthy told about the conversation that he had with Trump on January 6th, where he said to Trump, you got to stop this insurrection. And Trump said, well, Kevin, maybe these people care more about their country than you do. He told that to Jamie Herrera Butler, and she has divulged it publicly. Now, Trump denies it. Kevin McCarthy denies it. And they went against Jamie Herrera Butler, their own incumbent. That's what's happening out there. Now, there's some pieces of good news. Some pieces of good news. In Missouri, Eric Greitens, the governor, remember the waitress spanker, the beautician spanker, Eric Greitens lost big time. He's a Navy SEAL and a former governor, but the legislature threw him out midterm, the Republican legislature, because of his attacks on women and specifically domestic violence. Then he was running again. He was ahead in the polls for a while. He's the guy that put on that ad, you may remember it, maybe you don't, where he had a bunch of people dressed like Navy SEALs. In other words, combat gear, masks, assault rifles. And they kick open a door of a house. And he's at the head of the line of them. But, you know, he's in civilian clothes, but with a gun. And they're going, we're going rhino hunting. Get your rhino license. And they didn't mean R-H-I-N-O. They didn't mean a rhinoceros. They meant R-I-N-O, Republican in name only. That's what it said on the screen, R-I-N-O. In other words, we are going to what? We are going to kill Republicans who don't stand with Trump. That's really what it said. And I'll tell you what, as Republican as Missouri can be, people didn't like that. And they nominated a guy named Eric Schmidt, who's their attorney general. He's a more moderate. I don't know how moderate the guy is. I mean, at least he begged for Trump's endorsement. And Schmidt's first name is Eric. Greitens' first name is Eric. Trump was cutesy, and he comes out and he goes, I endorse Eric. I endorse Eric. So he gave the impression he'd endorse Eric Schmidt, too. So Eric Schmidt is undoubtedly bad news. But Greitens is a really strange ranger. He lost in Missouri. One piece of good news in Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania, John Fetterman, our candidate, is 9 points ahead of Mehmet Oz. You know him as Dr. Oz. Mehmet Oz is a gentleman who served in the Turkish military. He is Turkish. He's an American citizen. He votes in Turkish elections. He did not vote in the last U.S. election. Never served in the U.S. military. And he lives in New Jersey. And he just says he rented a room in his in-law's house in Pennsylvania to run. And people look at the guy and go, you know, I don't want a guy who will serve in the Turkish military and not the American military. I don't want a guy who votes in Turkish elections and not American elections. I don't want a guy who lives in New Jersey to represent Pennsylvania. So he's down 9 points to our guy. And that's a flip seat because Pat Toomey, who's in it now, is a Republican. He's retiring. In Georgia, Herschel Walker is down 4 points. He's down 4 points to Raphael Warnock. And that's a very big deal. That, you know, that's a Republican state, but Herschel Walker has said some strange things and has a history of domestic violence. and maybe Raphael Warnock can hold on. That means if we can flip Wisconsin, that means we pick up Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, hold Georgia, puts us in a pretty strong position around the country. And that, you know, leads to our race. Our race coming up is next. The primary race is next Tuesday, August 9. But three of the major candidates for Senate dropped out, leaving Mandela Barnes. And then the others are Peter Pekarsky, and Steve Olakara, and several other gentlemen. And Pekarsky's been advertising this radio station. You know, we'll see what's happened. I mean, obviously, the odds are that Mandela Barnes, and I know Mandela, he's a good man. He would be a good senator. So Pekarsky and Olakara, but the fact is that Mandela Barnes would be. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick of Madison?
Real quick, Matt, do you think that Republican candidates across this country after what happened on the vote in Kansas might just walk away from their real, real strong pro-life stances? And the reason I'm saying this is I don't think they're going to want to talk about it. And I think if you got them to tell the truth off the record, they would have wished that the Supreme Court would have stayed away from this until after the midterms, because they drew almost a million people out. In the last midterm, I know a little about the state. My oldest daughter lives in Kansas City. And she told me 2 weeks ago they were pretty sure it was going to win, but no one thought this decisively. I mean, even in the hinterlands outstate, it wasn't too popular, of course, you know. But I just think that they're going to run from that issue, too, and they're not even going to want to talk about it.
Yeah, I think that's right. That's a good insight. And here's the deal. I think that what the Supreme Court did was seen as so radical. You know, in Kansas, and a lot of people don't like kind of radical changes shoved down their throat. And I think most people, I mean, look, who likes abortion? Nobody likes abortion. But on the other hand, for doctors to worry about being prosecuted as felons and for women not being able to choose their own bodies, it's easy for somebody who isn't pregnant or for a man to say something. But, you know, when you're faced with it yourself, especially with health issues, who knows? And so I think you're right. And I'll tell you, there's some evidence to what you just said, Dick. And down in Florida, DeSantis is comes across as a right-wing nut on many things, on the pandemic, on vaccines, and on goofy things. And I don't want him near the presidency. But on abortion, he's silent. He's absolutely silent. And he has not tried to ram through his mischief in the legislature on that. And I think that what you're saying is exactly right. I mean, people, not just polling, but in focus groups around the country, a lot of people go, well, that wouldn't be my choice. But I, you know, I'm not going to tell a woman what to do with her own body. And I'm not going to have OBGYNs worry about a felony prosecution in making medical decisions if a woman's life or health is in danger. I mean, I'm just not. And that goes on. And then, you know, you had Governor Evers come out and he said he would pardon or commute any sentence of any doctor or anybody under that 1849 law that outlawed abortion, which is great, except that if you're an OBGYN and you have a very good record and you're a resident and you decide I can go to Milwaukee or Chicago, and in Milwaukee they go, well, you may be prosecuted, but the governor will spring you from the penitentiary. I got news for you. Guy's going to go to Chicago. I mean, you know, what? Okay, so he's going to pay, or his insurer will pay fairly large legal fees to get him acquitted in a jury trial, which he would. And you have a governor now, but how long can we say there will definitely be a Democratic governor? I mean, I think there will through 2028, but I mean, and so guy goes, well, you know, do I need this? You know, frankly, do I need this? And in Kansas, there was a doctor, and this is, I think, 10 years ago, who provided abortions, you know, for women who had health needs. And he was assassinated. He was assassinated in his own church. He was an usher in his church. And he's standing there, guiding people to the pews. A guy comes in, guns him down. I'm not kidding. Not kidding. He's not the only one either. So when you have that degree of zealotry, I think you're right. I mean, I think that people in the Republican Party, the candidates are going to go, you know, maybe there's other things I can talk about. And the Democrats, I think, are going to be skillful about it. But you got to be a little careful. If that's your only issue, people get it. People get that the right wing of the Republican Party tries to ram through stuff like they did in Kansas. They get that. And they get it that the Democratic Party is freedom-oriented and liberty-oriented on that issue and a lot of issues. However, if you keep discussing the details of abortion and all of that, people get turned off very quickly. So what I would say is, it's really a question of personal liberty. It's a question of, do you control your own body? And a lot of people would say, well, you know, I don't like abortion, but I'm not controlling somebody else's body. I mean, we're a country that believes in liberty. So yeah, very, very good point. I want to come back to Wisconsin briefly. Another judge has imposed attorney's fees as a sanction on Gableman. This one, Frank Remington, assessed $163,000 in penalties that the taxpayers are going to pay. Valerie Bailey Wren, another judge in Dane County, assessed more than $90,000. Together, it's over $250,000, over $250,000 for taxpayers to pay. The lawyer representing Gableman charges $450 an hour. An hour. That is what you are going to pay. You've already paid over $1 million. Gableman is the guy who in court, Judge Remington, a very well-known judge over there, he made fun of him. There was a female lawyer on the other side. He insulted her, and he said that Remington was a female lawyer with a beard. That's what he said to the judge. And he refused to answer questions. The judge said, all right, tell me what you did to get your fee. He said, I'm not going to tell you. Called him a lady lawyer with a beard. And then he went through this weird pantomime where he pretended in kind of a, you know, come into my chambers, my, you know, like my chickadee type thing. He didn't say my chickadee, but what is this? What is this? Why are we paying for this? And they found no fraud. No fraud. He charged tens of thousands of dollars to sit in the New Berlin Library on a public computer Googling elections because he said he didn't know anything about elections. What is this? What is this? This is the Republican Party is what this is. You're out there. You think you're a Republican. Think again. Think again. The Republican Party, backed up by Republican judges, has said that taxpayers' money is essentially a bank account that the Republicans can dip into for political purposes and spend whatever they need. I don't think it's right, by the way, for the taxpayers to pay for fines for misconduct. That's a little too far. I don't even think they should pay for attorney's fees. They certainly shouldn't pay $450 an hour to a guy named James Bopp, that's his name, representing Gableman. But the purpose of penalties, sanctions, is to punish. Taxpayers didn't do anything wrong. Gableman did something wrong. Voss did something wrong. Republican Party did something wrong because they didn't produce documents when they were ordered to, and it turns out they destroyed them. The sanction should be against the conduct, the person responsible for the conduct. That is Gableman, Voss, and the Republican Party. But what they should have done was these judges said, put an order that said the taxpayers can't pay it. You will pay it. It's assessed against you personally. Assessed against you personally. They didn't do that. Okay. They didn't do it. You're on the hook for over $250,000 for penalties for misconduct. And there's not a nicer way to say it. Okay, I'm going to the lines. Gary of Sussex, my friend. Thanks for calling, Gary. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Matt, you ever wonder why a 70-year-old conservative from Sussex likes to listen to you? I learn from you. I really do. I don't agree with everything you say, but I learn from you. Things that I'll never hear on other stations. So then I kind of weigh it out, and I say, oh, okay, you know, this is, yeah, I agree with that. Oh, no, I think he's way off, and he's biased against Republicans, which is true, which is fine, because I'm just the opposite of you, you know, and I respect the fact that, you know, you're a Democrat, and you think that we're all nuts, you know, the Republicans. But I do got good news for you. You always like to hear good news. And the good news is Ron Johnson is now going to vote for funding the veterans for the burning pits. I don't know if you heard that, but he's changed his vote. You know, he thinks it's going to be a good idea. They got the money to do it. So that's the good news. Now, the other thing, which I'm happy because these veterans deserve it, and I thank you for your service, all the years you spent. I think it was in the Navy, you said. And if I'm wrong, I apologize, but
no, that's right.
I thank you for, because right. You talk about it a lot, and that's good. So I do appreciate the fact that you were taking care of me while I was in high school, and you know, as a youngster. I think you're a couple years older than me. You know, they had the lottery numbers in 1969 and 1970 and 71 when I was available. So I got lucky; I didn't get nailed, and whatever. Now, but the reason I'm calling is, what do you think about what's going down in Racine with these drive-around collection boxes for votes? What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, okay, well, Gary, first of all, everybody, Gary is he's a principal conservative, and I respect that, and I welcome principal conservatives calling into this show, because through that kind of advocacy both ways, you get to the truth, and so... Two things I want to say, and Gary, we're coming up on a break, so if I don't finish before the break, I'll finish after the break. First of all, with Ron Johnson on the veterans bill, the burn pit bill, it is true he has now announced that he's changed his mind and that he will now vote for it, and so have many other Republicans. And Gary, but one reason was veterans had camped out in the Senate corridor, and there was one guy, this is really sad, is lying there hooked up to oxygen. The guy's lying on the floor. The Senate hooked up the oxygen, and because we control the Senate, the Democrats, Schumer let them stay. Moscow Mitch would not have let them stay. So Johnson and these guys had to walk down the hall stepping over a guy lying there with oxygen who'd been in combat in Afghanistan and who had been subject to, you know, had COPD, and he had, I don't know if he had the lung cancer, but, you know, your lungs are real thin material, membrane. You don't repair a lung. You can have a lung transplant. But these guys who are exposed to toxic chemicals, and they're supported by the Vietnam vets because in Vietnam they were subject to Agent Orange. And my wife taught a kid in school had no arms because his father had been exposed to Agent Orange. And when I served, Admiral Elmo Zumwalt's son was in our division, and then he transferred to the Marines, and he went over and he got Agent Orange, and I think he got killed. So the Republicans have changed. I'm glad to see that. I will talk about the vans in Racine after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
And I know this is where I belong. This is my home. This is where
to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to get back to the issue posed by Gary of Sussex. Gary of Sussex called in. Gary said, what do I think about the vans, the voting van or vans? Maybe there's more than one, I don't know, but at least one driving around Racine. And Gary, I think that's fine, but let me tell you a difference. A lot of people, Tim Ramthan, who's a long shot candidate for governor on the Republican side, both Clayfish and Michaels are ahead of him in the polls, but he said it's illegal. Well, I think it's a good idea, and I'll tell you why. The Wisconsin Supreme Court outlawed drop boxes, unattended drop boxes. Okay, let's assume that's the case. there are drop boxes in clerks' offices at City Hall or wherever they are. When you walk in there, you don't go up to the clerk and have a long conversation. You stick your ballot, your absentee ballot, in a, it's a slot, like a mail slot, in a lockbox. The difference is that the office is open 9 to 5, and there are people there all the time watching it. So that's not the kind of drop box that was intended or even stated by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Secondly, the people that are in this van are employees of the municipality. They are authorized. They're like the clerks behind the counter. You could go into the counter and stick it in the box without even talking to them, and they're observing it. Here, you get, they go to your van, and it says voting van. So you go on and say, I'd like to vote. Okay. They sit there. There's a desk. They have a computer. And you say, they say, let's see your ID. You have the ID. They look at you. You're registered. You say, here's a ballot. Walk over there. There are three or four little voting privacy booths. You go in and you vote. You come back. They take your ballot. And then it's fed into a, it has to be done on election day. It's not permitted for it to be done right away. I think it should be done right away. But in any event, then that is taken back to the headquarters and it's put with all the other absentee ballots. So it's not a drop box, and it is authorized, hired people who do that kind of thing. And there are some behind the desk back in City Hall or wherever the office is, and there's some in this van. There's no prohibition in the law on mobile voting like that if it's done with complete integrity and security, which it is. Then the question is, even if it's not against the law, is it a good idea? Is it a good idea? I think that a lot of the I think it is a good idea, but a lot of the opposition comes from people, and I think they're mistaken, and conservatives who think, well, what'll happen is there will be people who won't be able to get down to drop off their ballot in the office itself, in the box there, but you know, it's under observation, and they won't get around to mailing it. Or they'll mail it too late. So maybe we can squeeze out some votes here and prevent some marginal people from voting. I want conservatives to think about the following. My own view is that when you open up voting, make it more liberal, including drop boxes, quite frankly, but okay, let's say you don't have drop boxes, that will ultimately benefit conservatives over liberals in a lot of areas of the state, and frankly, in elections that seem to go Republican. I do not think that these marginal efforts to chip away at the ability to vote benefit conservatives. I really don't. The numbers involved are not that substantial. And there are a lot of people who are conservatives, who are not wealthy, who live in rural areas, they're good people, they have an idea on an issue, they'd like to vote. There are hassles to voting. Election day is not on a weekend, it's on a Tuesday. People vote, people need childcare. There are elderly people who take care of their daughters or sons' kids while they go to work, can't possibly leave. You can go, okay, well, get a mail-in ballot. Well, with the mail-in ballot, it's a bit of a hassle. You have to know a little bit about computers to how do you upload your voter ID and all that. And people, I'll do it election day. And election day comes and, well, no, I have to provide child care, I have to work, or it's raining and they don't go down. That affects lots of people. So I would commend to conservatives, rethink your opposition to some of these functions that make it easier to vote. In the long run, I think you're going to find that it would accrue to the conservatives' benefit to make it easier to vote. And the sad thing is, this is a very sad thing, the truth is many people don't vote. In this August primary, we'll be lucky to get 20% of the people voting. You know, it's August. People are on vacation. They're going to go to barbecue. They're going to go to a softball game. People are going to forget. A lot of people don't read the newspaper. It goes over their heads. This is what happens. This is what happens. So there you go, Gary. I think it's a good idea. I don't know how much effect it's going to have on turnout. I think, unfortunately, not very much, but it's a very good idea. I want to talk to you about a sentencing on an individual who invaded the Capitol on January 6th from Texas, a guy named Guy Reffert. He stormed the Capitol. He got the longest sentence of anybody so far, 7 years and 3 months in jail. He's already spent 19 months. That will be deducted from it. So he'll end up with something like 5.5 or 6 years. Here's what he did. He stormed the Capitol with a handgun, a Glock, a helmet, body armor, and zip-tie handcuffs. Zip-tie handcuffs. He told fellow members of the 3%ers militia group, his radical group, that he planned to, quote, drag Nancy Pelosi out of the Capitol by her ankles, quote, with her head hitting every step on the way down, end quote. When he went back to Texas, his son, named Jackson Reffert, told the authorities that his father had said to him and the 16-year-old daughter, in other words, Jackson's sister, that, quote, they would be traitors if they turned him in, and traitors, quote, get shot. Threatened to shoot his own two children, 19 and 16. They turned him in. He didn't need to turn him in. Everybody knew he was there. This is a sick, sick puppy. And this is the way, the guy, by the way, that Blake Masters, Trump-endorsed Senate candidate in Arizona, said that a third of that crowd were FBI agents, and they ginned it up. That's false, of course. But up until now, you've had some, you know, people get off with 60 days, 90 days. The people that got several years were the ones that hit cops. The people that injured cops are going to get very long prison sentences, and they're pending. But this is the first one where they came right out and said, all right, you're going to get 7 years, over 7 years. There are sentencing guidelines in the federal system for each crime, and the guidelines for this one were 9 to 11 years. 9 to 11 years and 3 months. The prosecution asked for 15 years. The defense asked for 2 years. The judge dialed it down to 7 years and 3 months. So below the guidelines, the defense will have a very hard time appealing that. They can't appeal the sentence, but there's some appellate judges will say he should have 9 years, not seven. You don't go in there and everybody's yelling, hang Mike Pence. And by the way, I'm going to drag an 82-year-old woman by her ankles down the stand, bouncing her head, giving a subdural hematoma, and killing my kids if they turn them in. Enough's enough. Enough's enough. And I think that every Republican listening to this will agree with me on that one. They'll agree with me on that one. So that's what's happening. But it's got to go higher than this. These foot soldiers who are ginned up to do it, yeah, they should go to prison. So should Trump, Giuliani, Mo Brooks, Don Jr., and the rest that gin them up. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.